Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Girly Homesteader Podcast. On today's episode, I am sharing my goals for the month of April on our homestead, but also sharing some updates. And finally, because we are getting, you know, into more spring-like temperatures and there's more sun, I actually have some more exciting updates, I should say, in the garden. But I have some news that is unfortunate to share about our bees. So anyways, we'll get to that and also my goals for the month of April. Hello and welcome to season 3 of the Girly Homesteader Podcast, the show that's definitely not your typical homesteading podcast. I'm your host, Laura, a girly homesteader living in Xenia, Ohio with my husband, chickens, bees, and garden. On this weekly show, we'll cover the typical stuff, like gardening and chicken lady life, but we also go beyond the farm and talk about things like goal setting, makeup, planners, skincare, and staying in tune with nature's seasons. I've considered myself a homesteader for the past 3 years now, and in 2024, I'm hoping to hone the skills I've learned and continue to share those experiences with you. So, welcome to this girlier side of homesteading, where we can grow and flourish together. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Grow and Flourish Planner, the garden and homestead planner I developed that goes beyond the farm because it helps you set goals and discover which facets of your homestead life need the most attention and which facets deserve celebrating. In this second edition of my planner, you get over 225 color-coded and seasonal pages of planning, documentation, and introspection. It starts out with a yearly overview, including the Grow and Flourish assessment, that helps you prioritize areas of your life, like relationships, homestead production, work, health, and more. The planner is then divided and color-coded into the four seasons, with each season having a check-in assessment, a space to consolidate notes from last year, map the garden, plan your plantings, track your seed starting, track soil health and amendments, write down seasonal meals, inventory your seeds, summarize the season, and more. Each season is then broken down into months with summary pages, daily rhythms, weekly planning, day-by-day tracking, harvest tracking, and egg production pages. Each section of the planner is tabbed to keep you organized, and it includes a rip-proof and waterproof cover to keep your dreams and records safe. The planner is also designed for the disc binding system, which allows the planner to grow with you, whether you want to see only one season at a time, all the seasons together, or even keep last year's notes right alongside so you can compare. This planner is $39, but as a listener of the podcast, you can get 15% off when you use the code PODCAST at checkout. Get yours now with the link in the show notes and be the most prepared you've ever been for next season. All right, so first of all, let's get into some updates around our little homestead here in Ohio. We have about less than a month before we get to our supposed projected final frost date. If I remember correctly, our final frost date is April 28th. Of course, that's not a tried and true date. That's just an estimate. The general rule of thumb around here is that you are safe to plant your warm weather things around Mother's Day. So anyways, I'm saying this just because that's like a frame of reference, so you can kind of gauge what's going on here compared to, you know, what's going on at your home. So, updates. I am so excited because we are at the point where I can finally start harvesting lots of greens. I haven't harvested a full salad just yet, just because I still have some store-bought greens in the fridge, but we're going to eat those tonight. And then after that, I think we are set to only be harvesting from the garden. And the reason this is so exciting is because it's like a whole month before last year. I was looking back at my notes and it was like May 7th last year when I harvested my first full salad. And the fact that I will be able to do that on like April 1st, April 2nd when I'm recording is absolutely huge. So why is this happening this year? Well, two things. And I am not exactly sure which it is that caused it, or maybe it's a combination, who knows. But this year I definitely experimented and my experiments seemed to pay off in terms of when I planted. So because my raised beds in my garden, I have low tunnels over them, meaning I have plastic. I thought, you know what, I'm just going to try and sow things very early. So what I did is I sowed this stuff back in like mid to late January. For us here in my zone, at my latitude, this was the end of our Persephone period, meaning that we got 10 hours of sunlight again. Now, my garden doesn't get those full 10 hours because it is somewhat shaded, but still, I thought that would be a good time to try and start my seeds. And so I direct sowed arugula and spinach and lettuce and mustards and frisée, and I sowed them, and they definitely took a while to germinate and to grow. But now that we are definitely getting a lot more sun, they are growing like so fast, and I am so, so excited. Now, the other thing that could contribute to this too is the fact that our soil might be better than it was last year. That was the hope. And I will get to this later because it actually leads into one of my goals for the month of April. But compared to last year, we have another full year of decomposing having happened in my soil. Last year, the reason my soil was so bad is because I thought it would be a good idea to incorporate some wood chips and the pine shavings from our chicken coop before I switched to sand. And although it added a lot of organic matter, because it wasn't fully decomposed, it stole a lot of nitrogen from my soil. I had very low nitrogen availability. The pH of my soil was also very high. But with greens, I think what was most important is that nitrogen availability. So obviously now, a year later, I have had a whole year for those wood chips and things to decompose. So this is a sign that my soil might be better off than it was last year. But it could also just be because I started these seeds so much sooner. Now, we have had a generally mild late winter, early spring, but we have had some days like in February when these greens, they were maybe, I don't know, an inch or so tall, obviously way too early to harvest them, but they were that little and they survived nights in the 20s, covered by the plastic, of course. And so I am just super, super happy that I am a month ahead of schedule. Well, a month ahead of last year, at least, in terms of harvesting greens. So that is a huge, huge success, huge update in the garden. So far in the garden, I have transplanted out my cabbages and some broccoli and pak choi and napa cabbage. The transplants are doing very well because, again, it's been pretty mild. This week, though, even though it's the first week of April, we are going to have some days where it dips into the low 30s. I'm probably going to cover them just because I do have the ability to do so. But in theory, everything right now should be safe because everything that I have planted out obviously is somewhat cold hardy. So I don't know. I might cover it just because I can. But yeah, anyways, the garden is going really well so far. I'm very, very happy. So in terms of the chickens, I mentioned this at the beginning of March. We killed our rooster. We made the choice to cull him. I know I've mentioned it here, but I didn't go too in depth. But yeah, we gave this guy a chance. We kept him for like 9 months. And it honestly, it just got to the point where he was causing too much stress to the flock. And we honestly didn't need him. And I know that sounds terrible to say, but we don't. We didn't really need him for protection. He wasn't doing the best for protection. And also, we don't want to hatch out chicks because we don't have the space for them. And so the possibility of having fertilized eggs wasn't exciting to us. So he also was just not the most the most suave, I guess you could say. He would chase the girls around until he got his way with them, and it was really traumatic for the chickens. And so one day at the beginning of March, my husband and I, we were just, you know, walking around the yard as we do in the evenings. It was a weekend, I think a Saturday. It was like maybe 5 o'clock, and we were just walking around, and we're walking by the chickens, and I see him chasing down my favorite girl. And this chicken, she's one of our oldest. She's 4 years old, and she is a big, beefy girl. She is a big, beefy olive egger, and nobody messes with her because she is like a dense, big football. And yeah, just nobody messes with her. She's not mean, but she just looks intimidating, I guess, in the chicken world. And so I think in the back of my mind, I knew that if he ever tried to mess with her, that would be the end of him. So sure enough, we're walking by the chickens, and there he goes. He's chasing after her, chasing her and chasing her and chasing her. And she is screaming, not having it. He will not give up. He finally chases her down, does what he does. And then she runs off in the coop and was totally terrified. And so I looked at my husband. He looked at me, and we said, well, we can do it now. Because it wasn't too late in the day, you know, might as well do it. We had that energy of being angry. Because I will say, it is a lot easier to cull animals if you have like a reason to. And that right there, that fueled me to want to get rid of him. So my husband and I, you know, we were talking, thinking through like, okay, if we do it this way, we'll have to clean him this way, blah, blah, blah. So then my husband looks at me and he says, all right, if he goes after his favorite chicken, her name is Aggie, that's it. He's done. We're going to do it. And sure enough, it was like the rooster was listening and defying us like a 3-year-old or something. He did the exact opposite of what he should have done. He went, ran after, chased after my husband's favorite chicken, finally got his way. And that was it. So we went inside, changed our clothes, took care of things, and we no longer have our rooster. Now, I am so happy with our decision. Is it ever an easy decision? No, it's not. But as I said, we didn't really have a use for him. We didn't want him in the first place. He was supposed to be a hen. And he was terrorizing all of the girls. Because, I mean, it would be different if they actually wanted it, but they definitely didn't. They were running around screaming, trying to get away from him. So the definite, like, proof that the flock is so much happier that he's gone is the fact that a couple days after, at this point, I had 2 chickens that were sleeping in the nest boxes. I think they were just with the rooster there. There was a lot of drama up on the roost bars, and one of the hens would kick everybody off that she didn't want to be up there. And so one of my hens, a few days after the rooster was gone, she started sleeping up on the roost bars. And I am proud to say that a couple nights ago, I noticed that everybody was up on the roosts. So it definitely was a good thing that we got rid of our rooster. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just not a fan of roosters. Sorry, guys, but I don't like them. And again, we don't have a need for one because we don't want fertilized eggs. And so there we go. We got rid of him. We did decide to eat his breast meat. He honestly was scrawny. He was an olive egger. He really wasn't a meat chicken. And, we decided to eat his breast meat and then let the rest of him go back to nature. Some fox or coyote probably got a good meal from him, so he didn't go to waste. But yeah, we did that, and I'm very, very happy. Now, more death to talk about. So we went into wintertime with 3 honeybee hives, and we have come out of wintertime was 0. And I honestly am kind of embarrassed to admit this because it's pretty darn devastating. We started keeping bees about 5 years ago when we moved into our home. And we got bees from my husband's uncle. They were somewhat local to our home, and we kind of adopted these bees. These bees were raised by his uncle in a very low maintenance, like, you know, not much intervention kind of way. And so they were very healthy, sturdy bees that were already adapted to our climate here. And they were good bees, and we were able to keep them alive for, you know, a few years. 1 year we did go down to just one hive. A mouse had gotten into one of them over the winter, but we at least had one hive. Last year was a very good year in terms of bees because we created our first split ever from the bees. And then we also caught a swarm. And so again, we went into winter with three seemingly very healthy hives. Two of them were a little smaller than the other, but we prepped them for winter the exact same way that we had the past 4 years. And we thought everything would be fine. But then in March, we had kind of been noticing that there was just no bee activity, even on the super warm, nice days that we had here. And so we kind of had a bad feeling that none of the bees made it. And so last week, we opened up the hives and there were no bees alive. And so that really, really sucks. Now we have the decision, though, of what the heck we're going to do. I've liked having bees. Are they my favorite thing? No, just because you have the potential to get stung. Now, have we gotten to be better beekeepers where we don't get stung as often? Yes. So yeah, the bees right now are way more enjoyable than they were that first and second year that we were keeping them. But they were something that I just like never really thought about a ton because we were also very low maintenance beekeepers because bees, you know, bees are smart. They know what to do. And so the bees were kind of always in the background. And then come June, July, August, we would harvest our honey and we would have honey for a year. So I haven't bought honey from the store in like 5 years. And so now thinking that, oh my gosh, we only have a couple jars left of our honey from last year, it's kind of scary. Not that we're big honey users, but I don't want to have to go to the store and buy honey. Like, I'm just spoiled, you know? It's like how after you have chickens and then you can't eat eggs from the store because they're like beneath you, you know? It's that same kind of thing. And so the bees, though, I don't get as much enjoyment out of them as the chickens. And so right now we're just kind of having to decide like, well, what are we going to do? As of right now, we think that we're just going to try and catch swarms. We're not going to buy bees. If we would, though, I would want to buy them from a very local source just because that did help us out when we were beginner beekeepers. So I don't know. That's the status right now. Basically, on our property, we just set up our beehives empty with some lemongrass essential oil because that can kind of bring bees to them. And we're just hoping that we will catch a couple swarms and we can get refreshed. So what exactly caused it? We honestly don't know. We have never had trouble with mites. If you are a beekeeper and you are listening, you're probably going to hate me because we have never done treatments for mites. Well, we've done it like one time, but we are just, again, we're very hands-off. Our bees were always healthy. They seem to be very clean. And so we never did any mite treatments. I really don't think that was the issue because looking at the dead bees down at the bottom of our hives, we didn't see any mites, but again, we're not experts. I have a feeling that some of the hives just were too small and they didn't have enough bees to keep themselves warm. One thing that we did learn from this is that we probably should change the orientation of our hives. We had them set up in a line very close together so that their openings were facing east to get the morning sun. But what ended up happening, though, we think, is that because they were set so close together, the hive that was to the south, it probably got all of the sun and blocked it from warming up the other hives. Now, that hive, though, unfortunately, we think a mouse got into. So we think a mouse killed that one, but then the two hives that were blocked by the mouse hive, they probably didn't get enough sun, and we're thinking they just got too cold. Because in some of the hives, like the middle one, you know, there was a poor little bee that I saw who just looked like he was frozen, you know, just doing what he was doing, like he just froze to death. So it really sucks. Really, really sucks. We're also thinking too that maybe because the bees were so close together, that did trap moisture around them. Because one thing with bees, just like with chickens, if they are cold and dry, they're okay generally. But if they're cold and wet, they're not. The type of roofs that we put on our hives during wintertime, they do help to absorb the humidity and stop it from like falling on the bees. But because who knows, maybe because we had our hives so close together, Maybe there was too much humidity and that's why. So we don't know. We learned some things definitely from this experience, but yeah, we're a little bit devastated. I mean, I don't feel the same way that I do like if a chicken dies, just because, as I said, the bees are kind of in the background. But it's a big deal because, I mean, we have fruit trees, we have peaches, we have an apple tree, you know, my tomatoes and all of my garden. You know, the bees were definitely a big part of our success there, especially with the apples and the pears, or the pears that our neighbors have and the peaches that we have. So yeah, we're just kind of sad, but we're going to try and go about it the quote unquote natural way by catching a swarm and see what happens. So those are the updates. The garden is going well. The chickens are now settled. And then unfortunately we have no bees. So anyways, after the break, I'm going to go into my goals for the month of April and hopefully get a little bit more positive. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Beauty Counter, the non-toxic and EWG verified skincare, makeup, and fragrance brand that I've been using since 2020. My clean beauty journey began about 15 years ago, but until Beauty Counter, I struggled to find products that were worthy of repurchasing, that were effective, and also worked with my super sensitive rosacea skin. In 2020, I turned 30 and decided to buy my first grown-up skincare products. And since my first Beauty Counter moisturizer, I've been hooked on the brand, and now most of my products are from them because of how effective they are. Beauty Counter is the epitome of the phrase, a little bit goes a long way. The other amazing thing about Beauty Counter and why I became a consultant is that the brand advocates for safer products in both the US and Canadian governments, helping to create laws to protect everyone from harmful ingredients. By shopping with a consultant, you get the perk of working with someone who knows the products inside and out, so you can get customized recommendations and samples before you make your investment in full-size products. This helps you from wasting money on things that don't work for you, end up in a drawer, and you can finally feel the best you've ever felt in your skin. Click the link in the show notes to shop Beauty Counter or send me a message on Instagram to request samples specific to your skin type and product preferences. All right, so a lot of the goals, actually most of the goals, all the goals that I have for the month of April have to do with my garden. So one of the things that I had written down on here that I actually completed already was to bleach and clean out my rain barrels. This was something that I discovered is very important last summer. If you use rain barrels, you need to sanitize that water. For the average rain barrel, if you put an ounce of bleach per rain barrel, you can effectively sanitize the water without killing your plants. I also realized that at every season, at the beginning of the season, I should be cleaning out my rain barrels. So that was on the schedule for April, but I ended up having a great warm day at the end of March and I got that done. But what that does lead up to is figuring out my auto irrigation. After last year, I discovered that my raised beds dry out very quickly compared to my in-ground beds. And so one of my goals for the year was to figure out some automated watering. Last year, we did do some automated watering. We had an overhead watering system, but the problem with it is that it just wasted a lot of water because it would water the entire garden and it would also water the paths. And so this year I did purchase, or I did get, a automated watering system. I can't talk about it just yet because I haven't tried it. It looks very promising. If you follow me on Instagram, you might have seen it. I guess I'll just go ahead and say what it is. It is an auto lawn care device, and auto is spelled O-T-O. This is a device that I got an ad for on Instagram. It looked very promising because you could basically map out your garden and it will work as a sprinkler basically and water only certain areas. So in my head, I thought, okay, this is great. I'll be able to have it map out just to water my raised beds or maybe just my in-ground beds, etc. That way I am not wasting my precious rain barrel water on the paths of my garden. So that is something that I have to set up in the month of April. but I haven't, depending on the weather, I could get it set up already. But the thing is, you can't leave this device out when the temperatures get below freezing, obviously, because it could break. And the other thing too is that the way that it's going to work, it will not go past, obviously, the plastic walls that I have on the sides of my gardens currently as low tunnels. So I really won't be able to get this guy set up until I take the plastic off once and for all. So this will probably happen at the later end of April when I feel safe that I can take off all of my frost protection methods. But yeah, that'll be a big thing to set up and hopefully make the rest of spring and summer and fall a lot easier. So setting up my auto irrigation. Other things in the garden, I want to figure out how I'm going to trellis my tomatoes. I'm probably going to pull you guys on Instagram, because my tomatoes that I have set up in a new bed by our house, I don't know how I'm going to trellis them. My hope is that they get nice and big and I'll have to figure out how to do that. So I'm going to be getting that all figured out this month. I did almost fill up that bed completely. I do still have to get a little bit more, but at least it's set up, it's leveled, it has the landscape cloth in it, and it will be ready to go by the end of the month. In terms of other maintenance kind of things that I want to do, I want to apply my beneficial nematodes. I did this last year, and the beneficial nematodes, their purpose is to eat flea beetle larvae in my soil. They worked out very well last year, and I want to do it again. Now, you have to apply them when your soil temperature is at least 42 degrees. I could have tried to rush and get it done like today, but as I said, it's going to get colder this week, and so I think I'm going to wait until after this cold snap comes through, and then I will apply those. Those are applied with water. Basically, you just water them into your soil as if you were putting on a fertilizer, and that's it. So that's one thing that I need to do in April, and then I also need to do some mulching. I've been lazy about this. I haven't mulched yet. My soil is bare, which I know is a sin. And I can tell that the weeds are starting to come in. I don't have my entire garden planted, obviously, because it's only April, but I do have some cabbages and things planted. So all I need to do for now is to put my mulch around them. What I am going to be using this year in the spring is compost. And when I say compost, I mean broken down for like a couple years now, wood chips and chicken bedding. So this is pine shavings mixed with chicken poop that has been sitting in a pile for about 2 years now. This stuff should in theory be safe for me to use and not rob my garden of nitrogen. I do think that it's probably decomposed enough because if you look at it compared to my wood chips that are a year old, it is definitely broken down and it's a lot finer. So I'm hoping that I will be able to use this to mulch my garden successfully. So that is about it for maintenance items for the garden. But then in terms of planting, I am going to continue direct sowing greens. I am going to direct sow dill eventually this month. I have to transplant my broccoli, my cauliflower, and pak choy. I actually have those hardening off right now. And then I will be potting up my warm weather plants like my tomatoes and my peppers. And I'll have to harden those off too. And then I'm also going to be seed starting today, actually, basil and marjoram. And then I think also Mexican mint, which is a kind of alternative to tarragon. So I have a lot of planting to do. I will be doing some more transplanting this month, and then I'll be prepping for the big month of May when we finally get to put our warm weather crops out around here. As I said, our general supposed last frost date is the end of April, but the safe rule of thumb is around Mother's Day. We were lucky, I think, last year that our last frost date did actually, you know, remain true, but we have been screwed where we thought it was going to be safe and then it wasn't. So I think this year I'm going to stick to the Mother's Day rule, and then I might actually plant my peppers even later because they are more sensitive to the colder temperatures. So I might do tomatoes and then wait and do my peppers later. And then one thing that could end up happening in April, maybe not, it might end up being May, just depends on the weather, is I would direct sow some of my crops like cucumbers and beans and squash. I am choosing to direct sow those this year rather than doing transplants, just because with all the peppers and the tomatoes that I have, and then the basil and the marjoram, there's a lot. And so I thought, you know, if I have a few less transplant like cups inside, that'll be better. So who knows, that might happen end of April, but it might be May. Then the last thing that I want to do in April is to do a soil test. So I hinted at this at the beginning of the episode when I talked about the success of my greens. It could either be the fact that I planted so much earlier, or it could be that my soil is better, or it could be both. So what I want to do is a soil test of my raised beds and also my in-ground beds and see if all of the amendments that I did during fall are actually paying off. So hopefully that is the case. But yeah, we'll see, hopefully. So that is about it for my goals for the month of April. Everything has to do with a garden. And so I'm just gonna do a recap here. I need to apply my beneficial nematodes to my soil to prevent flea beetles, but I can't do that until my soil temperature is 42 degrees. I need to set up my auto irrigation. I need to figure out how I'm going to trellis my tomatoes in my new bed that is up against our house. I need to do a soil test. I need to mulch around my currently transplanted plants with compost. I need to start my basil, marjoram, and tarragon. I need to continue with greens plantings and probably some more root veggie plantings too. I need to direct sow dill in the month of April. And then I'm going to be transplanting my broccoli, cauliflower, and pak choy. And then I will be hardening off my warm weather plants. And that, of course, includes potting them up from my aero garden into pots. What worked so well for me last year was to make paper pots. And basically, I just took the inner layers of my feed bags, which are just like unprinted brown craft paper, and I made pots out of that, because then all I have to do is just stick the thing in the hole in the ground. No need to disturb the roots, and they work out very well. That paper definitely decomposes easily. So that's it for the month of April. I am glad that we will be home for the entire month of April. April is definitely a beautiful month. It is also turkey season around here, so we will see if either my husband or I get a turkey. And we will, yeah, we'll see. So that is it for today. And I will talk to you next week. Thanks for listening to the Girly Homesteader podcast. If you liked this episode, please make sure to leave a rating and subscribe so you never miss a new episode. I'll talk to you next week. But until then, I hope you grow and flourish in all the ways that make you, you.